economy hits the bottom line.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Businesses are getting hammered by high gas prices and thrifty consumers. Restaurant chains Bennigan's and Steak and Ale filed for bankruptcy. Those two will close hundreds of locations across the country. And Mervyn's filed for Chapter 11, but the department store will stay open during reorganization. Things are still cooling off for Starbucks as well. It's eliminating 1,000 office jobs. Just yesterday, the coffee giant announced plans to close most of its locations in Australia. Things aren't looking so great for small businesses either. A federal program that has given more than $2 billion a year to small enterprises runs out of money in the fall. A Senate committee takes up that issue today. From Marketplace's entrepreneurship desk, Mitchell Hartman explains.
Cybernet Systems in Ann Arbor, Michigan, used an award from the program to invent a robotic device the Army is now using in Kuwait. Heidi Jacobus is CEO.
So what we can do is recover from vast piles of returned ammunition, ammo that is good. That process had been done by hand.
But the House bill would also let high-tech and biotech companies that are owned by venture capital firms bid for the grants. Emily Mendel of the National Venture Capital Association says these are small businesses too.
There is a common misperception that a company that receives venture capital backing has either, one, hit the jackpot, or two, is backed by a large corporation, neither of which are true.
Small business advocates counter that these firms already have plenty of access to R&D funding, and they'll muscle out true small-scale entrepreneurs. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
There is a silver lining this morning. Well, more of a shiny black lining. Oil prices are down again, and that has the markets feeling happy. U.S. markets had a good day yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained about 2.3%. Overseas markets looking strong today. Tokyo's Nikkei Index climbed about 1.5%. Nintendo profits powered up more than 30% last quarter, thanks to the Wii game console. London's FTSE is up nearly 1.5%. It got a boost from Cadbury. The candy maker saw first quarter profits jump 46%. Hey, in economic times like these, sometimes you just need chocolate. Or a low-fat sandwich. That's what Dunkin' Donuts is banking on. The seller of all things bear clawed and jelly-filled will start offering low-fat sandwiches and muffins in August. That should go over big here in L.A. We tend to be a little health-obsessed. You might remember that scene from Annie Hall when Woody Allen tries to order lunch in our fair city.
I'm going to have the alfalfa sprouts and a plate of mashed yeast.
Anyway, now we're even upping the ante. The Los Angeles City Council has passed a year-long ban on new fast food restaurants going into South Los Angeles. It's one of the city's most impoverished neighborhoods and has one of the highest obesity rates. Renita Jablonski has more.
Resident Christine Jelks is waiting at a bus stop in South L.A. She can point to a McDonald's, KFC, Taco Bell, and El Pollo Loco.
We do need more healthy foods.
Nearly three-quarters of the restaurants in her neighborhood are fast food. Councilwoman Jan Perry says her constituents deserve more healthy options.
We are a community that is disproportionately affected by hypertension, heart disease, childhood obesity, morbid obesity, diabetes, you name it.
The moratorium on new fast food joints also includes incentives for grocery stores and sit-down restaurants to move in. Andrew Casagna with the California Restaurant Association says it's unfair to hold the restaurant industry responsible for a neighborhood's health.
If someone wants a cheeseburger or wants a burrito or a pizza, they're going to order that.
The ordinance still needs approval from the mayor. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SaveAndInvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money with confidence. Online at SaveAndInvest.org.
The Georgia Aquarium in Atlanta isn't even 2 years old, but this summer officials are breaking ground on a $110 million expansion. As Odette Youssef reports, it's all about economics.
Atlanta is right near the top of any list for business conventions, but as a tourist destination, not so much. Some hope the aquarium will change that and bring business travelers back for fun. Augusta, Georgia resident Patty Cook may be evidence that it's working. On this peak Friday afternoon in the aquarium's food court, she settles into a table with her two granddaughters.
Well, we're on the way to my mother's, who lives in Columbus, so this was like a stop halfway to her house.
This is Cook's second visit to the Georgia Aquarium. She first came last year on a business trip. The man who built the aquarium believes others will also come back.
Georgia has never, ever been a tourist place.
Bernie Marcus, co-founder of Home Depot, which is based in Atlanta, opened the aquarium in 2005.
People would come here for conventions, and men would come by themselves, or the spouse would come by themselves, and then they'd get out of here by the weekend. They'd be out of here. Today, they're bringing their families, and they're staying an extra day or two, and this adds to the economic impact.
But sustaining that economic impact is hard. Aquariums typically struggle to maintain the high ticket sales they see during their first year. Marcus hopes the pricey new dolphin wing, where you'll be able to swim with the marine mammals, will help the aquarium avoid that fate.
If you just stand with what you had, you cannot be successful. People just don't want to come back and see the same thing over and over. There are some that do, but most of them won't.
So is Marcus ready to invest $110 million every few years just to keep things fresh? He doesn't think it'll always take that much to bring people back. Georgia State University professor Bruce Seaman says the aquarium's pressure to innovate is getting lighter because other new attractions are opening nearby.
There's no doubt that having something like the aquarium, the new Koch Museum, the Children's Museum, this is helping slowly but surely to justify extending that stay an extra half day or an extra night.
It's also transforming downtown Atlanta. The Coca-Cola company poured $96 million into a revamped museum that opened last year next to the aquarium. And Georgia recently announced a new National Health Museum to be built nearby. In Atlanta, I'm Odette Youssef for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.